Today's scripture reading can be found in Mark 4, and it's actually verses 1 through 9. It just says 9. There's a misprint. And it's on page 709 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. The parable of the sower. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, let me begin by saying thank you for having me again. Not only do you remember me, but you're going to take a chance on me again and invite me. And I am grateful for the privilege of always, always thankful for the given task that I have as a professor and as a minister of the gospel to share a bit of my own knowledge and experience among you here. Many things have changed since I stood among you before. Actually, the most recent thing might be, you may not have known this, I may not have mentioned, I now have a cell phone. But the number is still, for most people, a secret, so relatively peaceful. But it is good, we found on vacation that when I have this thing, we would keep in touch with our children to see where they are and so forth. Although I don't like to know too often. My children are always doing this. But keeping in touch is a very, very good thing, and I hear good news about you from people I know that we have in common as friends in Christ. So I am grateful to God for you all, that you not only are thriving here, but I trust you're training the new pastor very well. I also wanted to greet you from Westminster. In a matter of a few weeks, new students will be arriving, not knowing what will hit them, and Westminster covets your prayers. We have also been undergoing a lot of changes. We'll have a brand new dean. We have a fairly new president for a year, and a lot of us are going to be getting used to new things at Westminster. Pray for us, the faculty, the staff, and especially the students, that somehow they might seek truth and wisdom. Well, you may notice in the bulletin that the scripture reading is Mark 4, 9, and since it's actually 1 through 9, we're going to have a very long sermon to cover all the other verses. But I begin with this bulletin cover, "God is speaking, are you listening?" That's a really tough thing, actually, theologically. Because if God is speaking, and we trust that through the Holy Spirit, God is always speaking in a matter of way that we understand through the scriptures and our life together in Christ, yet it's not the way in which we ordinarily understand speaking or also listening. But we also say we are listening. We're always keeping communications open for what God might reveal through His Spirit. Very difficult task, though. One, to hear God's voice, and then really to pay attention to what is actually said. Today's text is one of those places where we already know what he said. We already know what the scripture says. And that's the pitfall for us. When things are so familiar to us, we pay attention the least. So we say we take things for granted, right? Loved ones, closest friends and family. We take for granted, and we no longer really listen or pay attention. I hope you take each other, not all of you, each other, but spouses and family, parents and children, take each other out for dates, or you have nothing to listen to except each other. And you might hear things differently once in that situation. We have a text here in front of us that's begging to be heard. In fact, it was so puzzling in Jesus' time. This is one of those few occasions where Jesus actually explained it to the students, the disciples, what he was talking about. But of course, he couldn't explain the whole thing, just portions that seemed to be puzzling for them. But he did say about parables in general in this very chapter in Mark that parables are difficult. And in fact, in Mark, this would make us nervous, especially because they're difficult. Jesus uses them. Now, why would Jesus use something that's difficult to understand for simple people like us? Well, that's another scriptural text and lesson to be studied and reflected on later. For now, we want to focus just on the story, the parable. We don't have time for everything, of course, but we do have some things to consider. And I'd like to zoom out in our own life. I don't know if you're aware, I hope you have been made very well aware, that this year, and come October 31st, which is called in the Christian calendar Halloween, Hallow Evening, because the next day is All Saints' Day, All Hallows' Day, we have a special occasion for Protestants anyway, that this is the quincentennial, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, the Reformation, capital T, capital R, which means that our way of understanding God's word and preaching and doing mission, all of that goes back to 500 years. Why October 31st? Well, 1517, a monk named Martin Luther decided he would ask some questions and start a friendly debate and argument in the university. And so at the university church, he nailed 95 theses and thus began, he didn't know it would be a reformation, but the reformation that we know. Well, especially for us who are part of the Reformed tradition or Reformed churches, we ought to know that always, always in the Spirit, we should be listening and seeing things in new ways. Well, this parable in Mark 4 is very difficult. I've already mentioned, but Jesus admits it too and has to explain it to his disciples, who should know better. But it's only chapter 4. We have more chapters to go in Mark. It also appears in Matthew 13 and Luke 8. But in every case, it begins something like this, with Jesus grabbing their attention, saying, listen, pay attention. Now, it doesn't mean that Jesus is not aware of their oral capabilities. He knows that they have ears. He knows that none of them is deaf. But he says to them, listen, they may have, as our children at our home may sometimes think, oh, we are, I mean, see? Ears, this is what they do. So Jesus says, listen. Really listen. In fact, in case the disciples miss that emphasis of listen, open up your ears, he begins by saying idu in Greek, anyway, in Mark, and also in Matthew. Idu means behold, means look, check it out. And after getting the attention of the disciples through these simple words in Greek, which are, in fact, commands, imperative, if you want to be grammatical. Listen, all of y'all. Y'all, listen. Pay attention now. Behold, check it out. Look and see. A sower, in the version read, a planter, a farmer, a sower. And the Greek is actually simpler, hosperon, sperai. A sower went out to sow. It's the activity of the being, the person, that is repeated. A sower sowed, went out to sow. That's how this very complicated parable starts. Very simply, the way a parent might, in fact, sit a child down, listen, listen carefully now. A sower went out to sow. My children rolling eyes. Of course a sower goes out to sow. What else does a sower do, right? What would a farmer do? Farm, of course. But this paying of attention is something that is throughout the Bible, and we miss it. In fact, one of the first things that God does, in fact, I would say, this is maybe not the best exegesis of the Genesis text, when the text in the first chapter says, God said, let there be light, and he saw that the light was good. Why wouldn't God know that the light was good? He created it after all. But pays attention to the light, every quality of that light, and says, the text says, God saw that the light was good. God checks it out. One of the first things that God does is check out the things in front of him in creation. Throughout the scriptures, you'll see this. Check it out. Pay attention. Behold in the King James Version. Behold. The problem is, we are beholding, but we have a traditional focus and interpretation of this text where quickly we fall into the comparison of the seats. In fact, if you keep reading after verse 9, you'll see as Jesus unpacks portions of this text, he focuses on the seeds. And clearly, it's meant for the disciples to figure out something about how they are listening. And so we have been, as a church, weaned on the way that this story is about the different kinds of soil, the four kinds of, actually they're not soil, if we look at the text. They're four different kinds of places on which the soil, the seed, falls. Now, if I were clever, I would have brought in seeds. I like that with these sunflowers. I wish they were still here. I could maybe. But I'll be throwing out quite a bit, as I might explain in just a minute. And this place would be littered all over the place, and I would apologize to the cleaners. But let me start with a quiz, a math quiz, if you will. Okay? I've talked a lot about how to prepare for hearing a story like this, a parable. Put your calculators away, cell phones away that have calculators on them. Just listen, pay attention, and follow along, and there will be a quiz at the end, yeah. So there's a bus that starts off the day and goes to the first bus stop. 10 people get on. The bus goes to the second. Did I say this? Did I tell this story already at this church? I can't figure out which church I said what to. It's okay. Just go along with it. So the bus driver starts off the day. First stop, 10 people get on. Goes to the second stop. 2 people get off, but 7 get on. Goes to the next stop. 2 more people get off. 7 more people get on. Goes to the next stop. Nobody gets off, but 5 more get on. Goes to the next stop. 2 more get off. No one gets on. Goes to the next stop. 5 get off. 3 get on. That was a little fast. Okay. How many bus stops were there? I told you to pay attention, but apparently you didn't. You did pay attention, though, just not all of it. And it is like this with God's word. It's a big, thick book. And if we were to pay attention to every word, it would take us a lifetime. That's the idea. Well, we have a story here in which a sower, a farmer, if you will, a planter, failed agriculture 101. How do we know that this farmer, this sower, who went out to sow, Jesus says, pay attention, he says. And the first word, the first subject, and the activity is one and the same. It's a sower. Listen. And this activity is simple, of sowing, throwing seeds. And we hope if the sower is a good one, a wise one, saves the seed, secures the seed until you get to the plowed earth, and then there in furrows and rows and whatever, you follow the path that you have made or whatever. You get the idea. A planned, organized, controlled seeding. This sower is probably texting on the way, right? Seed is falling on the path. Hodos is the word in Greek. It's the road, the street. It'd be like if you bought groceries and you're going home, but you left the doors open and the groceries falling out all over the road. It's not going to the destination where you intended to be, which is refrigerator at home. That's what's going on here. A sower went out to sow, and the first thing we find out about this sowing, this is the profession of the sower, by the way. Can you imagine a lawyer doing this kind of thing, or a pastor, or anyone doing this kind of thing with a given task? All over the road. The next place that the seeds fall Sower is sowing. That's what we were told. And you have to ask, is this sowing? Is this intended? The text won't say. One of the difficulties of the text. What kind of mind does the sower have that either he lets the seed fall or maybe on purpose? We're not told. It's a very simple parable that confounds the disciples. And it's too bad we don't pay attention to how difficult this parable is. We'll do a little bit today. So is this sowing? And continuing, you see this rocky place is the Greek word. Rocky place. So he sows there or lets the seed fall there. And then among thorns. Think of weeds in your garden if you garden. Thorns. And then finally, the text says, good earth, soil, dirt, good land. That's what the text says. The intended. And we have no more other kind of places that the sower visits. So we only have these four kinds all along the way. And finally, we assume, at least he learned this in Agriculture 101, that you get to the good soil, and that's where you do all the planting, perhaps. Well, he didn't succeed, but he did get there. If he were really texting, he may have lost all the seeds before he got there, and that would be very, very bad. In any case, you get the idea. Now, let me take a little sidestep to come to our world. We don't sow seeds much. Oh, well, David McCullough, and maybe some others of you, but most of us today don't farm. Most Americans are not farmers. But we do pay attention, I hope, to the economy in general, and we get these news, fantastic news, maybe too good to be true, in the recent months since the November election, actually. And we talk about the yield of the stock market. Maybe you're too young, some of you. The kids are all gone. Most of you know and maybe pay attention, hear and listen, and check out what's going on in the economy around us, in the world. The stock market has been hitting record highs, and it should make some of us a bit worried. Not that they're highs, and our portfolios might be doing well if we are saving for retirement or enjoying the savings, and they are yielding very well. The Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, this was June 19th, just not too far back, told CNBC at that time with those numbers, by the way, it's skyrocketed since then, the Dow Jones Industrial Average since the election, so this is a matter of about 6+ months, more than 16% the Dow Jones Industrial Average. That's pretty impressive. If you have anything that's in any part of the Dow Jones counting, you're doing very well. S&P 500, by the way, banks are still not, if you have money in the bank, sorry, not even close. If you're getting 1%, you're doing very well. S&P 500, more than 13%. Can you imagine if all of your plants, gardening, produce, money, got all of this? NASDAQ Composite, 18%. These are amazing numbers. So this is what was reported on June 19th by the Commerce Secretary. We go back to the yield that Jesus talks about. Jesus is not talking here about economy, of course, and really not about plants and seeds either. But we get it. He's talking about a sower. He says, pay attention to the sower now. You have the path or the road or the street, the rocky place, thorns, and finally the good earth, good land, good dirt. If we assume, the text doesn't say, but that these four are the different kinds of ground or places, and we divide our portfolio up equally, we'd have 25% on the street, 25% on the rocky places or place, 25% in thorns, and then 25% in good growth stocks. Okay? Depending on the weather and so forth, yeah. Would any of you invest this way? If you had $100, would you just take 25 of them and out to the street? Yeah? You get the idea. I don't have to go through the whole thing. None of us would do this, and no farmer in his or her right mind would do this. But that's what Jesus says this sower does in sowing. So we're talking about potentially about 75% or more waste. Known waste. We know that among thorns, we're not going to get a bumper crop or a yield. That's good. Rocky place or on the street. People step on the street, the path, the road. This is what we do know, although not all the details. But look at the end. This is what is striking. At the end of this text, when the seed finally reaches all four of the destination, seeds have no say in this, something that I would like you to think about. Seeds have no part in this story. They're the object of the sowing of the sower. Again, he says, pay attention, a sower. The only moral agent, an activity person, a subject, is a sower. And the ground also, whether it be the good ground or the path, none of that has a say in this story either. They're just kinds of places. Sower has decision-making power. I could do this, I could let it fall without my knowledge, or I could let it fall on purpose, whatever, but I can decide. I have $100 in my pocket. I decide every dollar where it should go. That's the story we have. And at the end, other seed fell into good soil. And in fact, we've been told this several times before this. It's just the way that the story is rolling. Imagine hearing this story for the first time. What are you talking about? So some seed fell on path, other seed, and then other seed fell on good soil. Come on. Jesus, I get it. Other seed. How much other seed are we going to talk about? It's not about the seed. He said, pay attention, listen, a sower, but not the sow. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain. Ah, finally. At least the 25-ish% that we did well with is going to give us something back. Brought forth grain, growing up and increasing. Increasing, that's good. You don't want to just break even. You want to increase. And yielded 30. Remember the numbers from the Dow Jones Industrial Average and so forth. 30 and 60 and 100-fold. You'll never get this from your bank. They're out to make money from you. And then after that, he says again, pay attention. Let anyone with ears to hear, of course, the disciples, if they're like my children, we have ears, we all have them. Listen, pay attention. At the beginning, pay attention, and at the end, pay attention. Again, of course, all throughout, we should pay attention. Well, there is a combination of the sower, of course, the sower, the main actor in this story, and the seeds. We assume the seeds are good. And the combination, not just with the seeds, but the kinds of places where these seeds are falling or actively being sown. So there is a combination of factors involved here, but certainly the activity belongs to the sower. The sower, in fact, could sit at home and watch Netflix and not sow at all, in which you get zero yield. You could starve. So what do we do with this story? As Presbyterians, as Reformed churches, this is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and for the Reformed churches, you may have heard this before, I will remind you again, there is a kind of a soft slogan or motto for us, that we are a church, ecclesia, semper reformata et semper reformanda, reformed and always being reformed. In other words, the continuing activity of God's Spirit is still ongoing after 500 years, after 2,000 years, after over 3,000 years, of Israelite history. Reformed and always being reformed. We need to hear the story again as Presbyterians should hear them. What would I mean by that? Theocentricity. Theocentric. It's a big fancy word. It just means that God is at the center of our hearing. Theocentric, God at the center, and not egocentric, I at the center. Even when Jesus explains this to the disciples, again, I don't mean to cause any offense here, but the explanation is somewhat short because it only covers the ways in which the disciples could understand the different kinds of ground or places. And so naturally, we come away from the story after that section, verses 10 and following, thinking, what kind of soil am I? What kind of soil should I become? Natural, right? This is what the church has been doing for about 2,000 years. And I'm saying, let's do it differently by paying attention to the whole story right from the beginning. Listen, check it out. A sower went out to sow. He doesn't say there were four kinds of ground or soil. Jesus isn't talking about soil. He's not interested in necessarily soil. He's interested in the sower. Pay attention, he says. Theocentric hearing of this and interpretation of this text, of course, there might be a variety of interpretation, even among us here, but throughout the various commentaries and so forth. But theocentric hearing of this parable would be very much at home in our Reformed tradition, as opposed to the egocentric, where we want to know what I am. Am I the good soil? And we all want to be, or if not, we want to be closer to it. Am I thorns? Am I rocky place? Am I the street or the road or the path? And we all pat ourselves on the back, knowing that we're none of those three, but we're really good soil. We are in church, after all, right? Something has taken root in us, and something is growing. But that ending is a bit interesting, isn't it? 30, 60, 100-fold. That's a bumper crop no farmer knows how to handle. There's not even machinery enough to handle that kind of a bumper crop. Imagine getting double what you expected. 100-fold? You don't have enough silos or farmlands to contain that. And then he says, if you got ears, listen up. It's not because of the soil, necessarily. It's not because of the seed or the quality of any of these things, but the pure activity of the sower. The sower did this. And we might fault the sower for the fourth here, the fourth there, the fourth there. But the end of it is, we're talking about a bumper crop. And Jesus says, trust the sower and the sowing. Yeah, you're going to frown, grimace when the seed is just falling all over the place as the sower is going to the good earth, good land. And as it's falling among the thorns, you're saying, oh, what are you doing? We might be very, very frustrated. Ah, but at the end, now we're anxious because we don't know where to store this stuff. It's going to go bad. That's how much we have. If you have ears, listen, Jesus says. We're talking about a bumper crop. Bumper crop on the heels of what the sower does or lets happen. I give thanks to God for this sower parable. And I hope that if we're good Presbyterians, at least, for this year of the celebration, we focus away from the soil that we are, or that we tend to be, or want to be, or are growing toward, and focus on this crazy sower whose activity in history has given us this church, you and your growth, my growth in faith, 30, 60, 100-fold. Not quite there because we're not done yet. If you're a farmer, we don't have this kind of certainty. If you're a disciple, we have it from God's mouth, in God's word. Listen, a sower went out to sow. Pay attention to that sower. And at the end, if you have ears, listen again. The yield will be 30, 60, 100%. It will blow away the stock market. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Generous God, gracious and generous God, may we indeed become good soil, receptive to your word, and yielding much fruit in our own private life, and in this church, and in our neighborhoods, our workplaces. But even if we're not good soil, or not every day, give us confidence, trust, and faith to know that your yield will be great. And knowing that, make us even more thankful to live out our life of discipleship, to be light and salt wherever we are. May your yield indeed, through our life, be to your glory and to our amazement and to our thankful contemplation in Jesus Christ. Amen.